Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. We're talking this morning about Sophia Street Pottery Throwdown. It is the third annual Sophia Street Pottery Throwdown. Trista Chapman is here this morning. Dee Dee Lucky is also here. Good morning, you two. This is going to be an interesting hour. It's going to be a high energy hour.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, it's going to be very high energy.
I'm so tired.
I know, but see, you can rise above it like no other. Trista, we've talked about, this is the third annual, and we've talked about it every year you come in and we talk about it. And last year, for the first time, I went to it. This is a big event.
It is. And every year I'm making it a little bit bigger, but just baby steps. I'm not trying to get it too big too fast because I don't want to. I want everybody to get a good piece of the pie when the people come. I want everyone to make money, but I do want to expand it as I can.
Yeah.
And have more for the people to come and see.
It's the, what is it, the 1100 block of Sophia Street?
The block is blocked.
Yeah.
Right in front of my studio, 1100 block, and there's going to be about 24 pottery booths, and then there is a booth that Dee Dee has been so kind to put together for people to do a hands-on experimentation with clay. They can feel it and touch it and try to throw it. And that was a big hit last year. That was something we added last year that was very successful. So that will be there too.
I bet that was.
Yeah, it was really successful. We had a lot of fun with it. I think we had probably 100 people through there easily.
At least. There were, sometimes there'd be a line, yeah. People waiting for a while.
Speaking of which, I got to figure out who's going to be man on that this year. Thanks for the reminder.
Yeah. Well, that's what we're here for. We're here to put the show together.
This is Dee Dee's checklist hour. Yeah. Please task me.
So I would think, especially for kids, but even for adults,
yeah,
that to just see what it all feels like.
Well, yeah, and I think it is really important to have that kind of interaction with the pottery wheel, because a lot of times we have classes all the time and people come in and they don't quite know what to expect. And sometimes they fall completely in love with it, and sometimes they discover that it is not for them at all. And this gives them an opportunity to sort of see what it is. But it also is a really delightful piece of education as to how difficult it is to get that lump of special fun dirt into a shape that we're selling to them that day. So it's a nice piece of education, so they can say that's why your mug costs $35 and the one at Walmart costs $30. There's a completely different kind of skill set there, yeah, between making them.
Yeah. Ryan, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I find that those are my favorite customers when I'm at shows and they come in my booth and they'll say, I tried this in college or I tried this once. It's so hard, mm-hmm, you know, and that helps all of us because we've all been working at it for years. Mm-hmm. And it is hard, but if you stick with it and, you know, really want to do it, you can accomplish.
Yeah, you have to be mildly masochistic.
Yes,
probably. Know, yeah, a little bit.
But it helps to try it because then they really appreciate what we do.
Yeah.
I find that.
You have both taught me, and I've seen just how much work goes into it. And, yeah, and that's why you start seeing these things and you just feel like $30, $40, $50 for some of these things, it's a bargain.
Well, I mean, honestly, Tristan and I both are surface decorators with our pottery. So we, not only are we throwing a mug on a wheel, we're putting a handle on it. I press leaves into my clay and then cover it with slip and then peel the leaves away and then scrape clay away and then add more clay with a
And they're a so beautiful.
And then Trista's over there with 70 different colors and textures and scraping through things. And it's you know, so it's not only just the wheels, so that alone takes you some time, but that process of building that pot into something that represents you internally, mm-hmm, becomes a whole nother level of challenge that it's a labor of love for us, so we love doing it.
It's true. I think that the decorating part or the glazing part is, a lot of people just will make something and they'll end up just dipping it in a glaze, mm-hmm, but Dee Dee and I both have taken it to another level. And I
just
think
a little extra level of crazy, yeah, right?
A little extra level,
yeah,
of crazy.
Yep. Yeah. But it's good crazy.
But it sets us apart. People know, they know your work, they know my work,
yeah,
you know, by the outside decoration.
Yeah, and I don't know about you, but I can't help myself. Like, I've said over the years a number of times, oh, I'm just going to make a really simple line. I'm going to have, like, a line where I could just, like, make it, yeah, and dip it. It never happens.
I've always thought I was going to create a line just to have at my shop.
Yeah.
That would be just something very plain and simple, yeah, and just a streamlined line that I could whip out quick. I haven't done it yet.
It's like every time you try, you're like, well,
maybe one more thing.
Make up a
one
little,
more step.
Maybe embellish it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
But the things that you do can change, they can change a room. Because I've got three things of Trista's,
mm-hmm,
in my house.
Thank you.
and the one is, the last thing I got, mm-hmm, was the...
A utensil jar.
Yes. Yeah. It's, mm-hmm, a utensil. And so...
Good memory.
Well, ooh, yeah, it wasn't that long ago.
It was a few weeks ago.
I wouldn't have remembered that. I'm just saying.
It's out on my deck now, and it has changed that whole room.
Ooh,
just that little thing. That's you see where something like that, and it would be the same thing if I had something of yours, which I now need to get something.
Yeah, I was
going to
say,
do you have
something?
Wow.
This is going to turn into a very awkward conversation.
Very awkward immediately. But it does. Those kind of things can change a house.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I've had people like design rooms around pots. So they'll say like, I really love this color pot. They bought it and then they found a wallpaper that went with it. They reupholstered their couch to go with it. And I'm like, boy, that's awesome. I mean, it's a huge commitment, but I understand that because I've had that same reaction to artwork as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess this is what kind of went behind. I mean, there are a number of things that went behind the pottery throne, and we'll talk about this morning. But I think one of them is just to teach the community about what potters do in this area.
Yeah, we have a lot of potters for the size town that Fredericksburg is.
Yeah.
There's a lot of art, period, but also specifically potters.
Yeah, I mean,
a lot of them. Liberty Town, it's been great.
We've been growing our program too, like trying to add more intermediate and advanced courses over the last couple of years as well, because the community has been growing. Like we fill up our classes every time now.
Mm-hmm.
We probably have like 24 students easily, maybe up to 36 every 5 weeks, different students. So we're probably doing like 1,000 students a year at this point, 500 to 1,000. And it's like, it's kind of crazy to watch the progress of Fredericksburg kind of grow, but then you're getting, you know, maybe out of this class, like one or two will stick around and start really throwing. And that's still a huge number to me.
It is.
It's like that huge number of people who are like, get that bug.
Yeah.
And it's grown and grown and grown. And like people from Northern Virginia come down now to see the art community here. We get a lot of people from Arlington and Alexandria that drive down all the way to Fredericksburg just to kind of shop for art here.
Yeah.
Which is huge. It's fantastic to watch it happen because they see the community and they see how easy it is to shop here for art. Like it's a smaller town, so they can walk around and kind of do it in 2 days. They'll get a hotel room and do it in a couple of days. But we have such high quality. They're not sacrificing any kind of quality coming down here. We've got some world class artists. My mouth's still asleep, apparently, guys. Sorry. We're a class artist.
What's interesting
I'm not drinking,
what's interesting though about all this, we talk, and Didi, you've come in and talked a lot about downtown and things.
I've come and talked a lot.
You
have
talked about you have made your mark on this show in many ways. But
Am I a co-host now, Ted?
Do I
get like a sticker?
You could be.
There's a reason why I invited her to come with me.
Yes, it's always when Dee Dee is here.
Total entertainment.
No, but we've talked about downtown and just in businesses, and kind of quietly, potters have really become a really big part of the whole downtown.
Well, I mean, I feel like it feels so natural to me that I don't really question it. And I don't know about you, but like it just feels like we've always kind of been here.
Yeah.
Right? Like Dan was down on Hanover for so long. And when I was in high school, I used to go and stare at him through the window while he worked. Because he's the first person that I encountered that made me want to throw pottery, right? So I started the independent study in high school back in the day here because
you're a young thing.
I'm a baby. I'm not that young. I'm almost 40.
Well, I was gonna say when you're talking about watching Dan,
I'm creeping. Dan's been at it for a while.
He was the old man Dan.
He's probably been doing it for like
40 years almost.
No, he would have been doing it for like 10, 15 years when I encountered him.
Oh, at that time.
Yeah. Right. Because it was in high school. I was probably like 15, 16. Mm. And so that was years ago.
We don't have to. We're not going to do numbers.
But it always felt like a Pottery Town to me. Mm-hmm. Like that's what
I came to town because of pottery, because of Phil.
Yeah,
I met Phil, who was my husband.
Yep.
And he was the potter in town before Dan.
Yeah.
So,
oh wow.
Yeah. And then there was the pottery that was found kind of across the street from Liberty Town, where they built Sedona Tap House. They found evidence that there was a pottery.
Yes.
Right over there.
A few years ago.
Which is kind of incredible because no one knew it was there. So I think that's like a metaphor for Fredericksburg in general, right? Like we have this artistic underbelly that really is the foundation of the town. I think you guys need to quote me on that later. it's so much art. We're digging it out of the ground here, right?
That's right.
But we're just, it's just such a part of our fabric. I really feel like it is.
The Sophia Street Pottery Throwdown, this is the third annual. It's June 8th from 10 to 5, the 1100 block of Sophia Street. Trista Chapman and Dee Dee Lucky here this morning. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. All of this talk will continue.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Music. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Trista Chapman and Dee Dee Lucky here this morning. The Sophia Street Pottery Throwdown, our focus. It is the third annual. It's June 8th from 10 to 5. It is free, and we'll talk about all what's going on at the Pottery Throwdown as we go along this morning. One of the things I noticed, especially with you two, but really anybody you've ever brought in, Trista, and we've talked with you, Dee Dee, with other potters, all of you potters, just everybody works together around here so well.
Yeah, I've always noticed that when I do craft shows, all the potters are just all people that I love, like that I want to be friends with, that I want to know. We've all been, it sort of is like a club or something. Like we all understand each other.
Yeah.
And we do have that kind of mentality where you share your knowledge.
You have to.
Share glaze recipes.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you're in it together, even though there's a huge... huge community.
Well, I think it's so personal that competition doesn't even come into the picture, right? Yeah. So, like, if you are feeling competitive with another potter, it generally means what you're creating isn't purely your creation.
Right.
It's borrowed, right? Because they're so different. There's no original ideas. There's no really... You can come up with original glaze recipes, but you probably look it up and somebody probably came up with it 45 years ago and just never wrote it down.
Yeah.
So it's like you have... There's no real, true, completely original. It's like taking bits and pieces and then making those original.
Yeah.
It's kind of like painting that way, right? So it's like...
I often joke about my decoration. I say, I invented the polka dot. Or, you know, as a joke, because people act like, oh, it's so... You know, wouldn't you be mad if somebody did this? I'm like, no, you know, they're able to do whatever they want to do out there. And I didn't invent the polka dot or the swirl or anything else that I do on my work.
Yeah.
It's just, I incorporate it into what I do.
And like, I think it was Neil and I were having a conversation once where he was saying, you know, Neil Reed does the Sgraffito work, right? Mm-hmm. It's really intricate Sgraffito work. But he's no problem teaching anybody else how to do it. And, you know, really early on, I came to him and I was like, why do you feel comfortable teaching people how to do this? Like, aren't you afraid they're going to do what you do? And he was like, well, no, because the problem isn't knowing how, it's the actual doing, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of what we do is so hard or so labor intensive that even if you teach somebody exactly how to do what you're doing, they'll be like, oh, never mind, I'll just buy one of your pots.
I've had that with mine where I do many layers of the underglaze and then I Sgraffito through that, and then I put polka dots on top of that, and then I glaze on top of that, and I tell people exactly what underglazes I use, what clear glaze I use, how I do it. I show them, and I've had people even try, and it still doesn't look like what I do.
No.
It's just funny.
Yeah.
They can't really replicate it.
Yep. No, I've had the same thing happen to me too, where people were like, I'm just going to try to slip trail just like you do. And they're like, that takes a long time. Why do you do that? It's like, one, like, I've gotten so good at it. Like, I've been doing it for 10 years now. So it's like, it's like lickety split. Like, I can slip trail really quickly. But also, it is really hard. Like, and that's the whole thing.
But
that's
it's also you. It's like, you can teach somebody how to do it, but if you're not actually doing it, it doesn't end up looking like what you do. It's so individual, actually, in the end. You can tell somebody every step along the way, but they can't really actually do exactly what you do.
No, because their own personality is going to come out. Yeah. And, like, why would you want
to,
like, completely copy somebody?
No, I know, but I've had people tell me that they tried to, and they can't make it look. And that just makes me laugh. I like it.
But, like, as a potter community, right, we all just, like, it's all helpful, too. So, like, you know, helping each other, where, you know, somebody's kiln will die and Trista's offered up her kilns when our kilns at Liberty Town
die. I have seen that and heard about that.
And vice versa, you know, because it's, we all have struggled. We've all been in each other's shoes at some point in time where something fundamental has broken or failed on us. And like, if you're just there for each other, if you're just there as a community, we're all going to make it together. You know, people don't come to a town to shop at one potter's place. Yeah. Traditionally, they'll come to a town because that town is known for pottery or that town's known for art.
Well,
so we all have to be in this boat together and work together to make sure that we get a name in the region so that people will come and patronize.
I always send people to Liberty Town, and Liberty Town sends people to me. I mean, we've always been like that. And I send people to Pawn Shop. I send them around if they're looking for something in particular. And I know that, they may have that. It is like a big happy family.
I have noticed it because, especially in the arts community, it's not always like that. There can be just little areas here and there where there might be some competition. And I didn't know when I did a podcast earlier in the year with Dee Dee, with you and Kevin. We did a podcast.
Yeah.
And I didn't know.
I forgot about that already.
But I had always associated you strictly.
Just snorted everybody. Okay.
I had always just thought of you strictly as Liberty Town. And all of a sudden you're over at Sophia Street Studios and I'm like, why are you here? Yeah. And you're like, because Kevin and I work out of here.
Well, yeah, because I had a studio at Liberty Town for forever, but because when I'm there, you know, being one of the owners of the place, it becomes really difficult to separate. And I'm a person that needs like personal silos, right? Like my creative side and my business side are both very separate, and they have to be separate. I'm creative in my own right in both of those things, but I wanted to be fully present when I'm at Liberty Town, and I want to be fully present in my art. So I'd move my studio at home, and then I think I told you this, where like I tracked so much dust around the place that it looked like Family Circus, like little footprints all over the house. My husband was like, oh, this is not gonna work out. And my dogs were eating like all the little trimming scraps out of the floor.
So Trista said, come on over here.
So happy when she
The basement opened up and Kevin and I were chatting, and I was like, do you want a roommate, because like I'd like a place to kind of just have a you know, a personal space that I can go to and throw. So, you know.
And I'm lucky enough that she lives almost just around the corner.
It's a 5-minute walk.
It's easy.
Yeah, it's a 5-minute walk from my house. So. Yep.
It's a perfect fit.
Yeah.
For me, it is.
I think of all these.
For me, too.
Here we are talking about the Sophia Street Pottery Throwdown, and you both come in wearing shirts from different years.
I've got the new colors.
I got
pink
first
on
year.
Charcoal.
I like that color, too.
I've been told it looks kind of punk rock.
It does look punk rock. It's really sweet.
Ooh.
I don't know. Yes. I hadn't thought about
that. The charcoal's there slimming, too. It's a little black dress, a shirt.
That's never a bad thing.
I, however, am in. You got 61st base.
Is that the first?
Yes,
the first year?
So this always makes great radio. Let me describe my shirt. It's blue, and the pot is orange. It has bright letters, and it is very loud.
It is.
It's very loud.
We're a little, I can't say it's subtle this year. Cause
it's not subtle. We're not known
charcoal background with pink.
Yeah.
But it's a good look.
I like the little needle tool, though.
I know. He did a great job.
Did Bree do that?
No. At your studio, Pete?
Oh, Pete did it?
Wonderful job.
Pete Morelowitz, I think. No one can pronounce his last name because it's not spelled how it's pronounced, but it's Morelowitz, like the mushroom.
The logo is
don't
similar,
go me on that, I could be wrong.
But he added some pottery tools to it.
Is that, I was going to ask what those on the side, those are pottery tools.
A trimming tool and a needle tool on either side of the logo.
I didn't even.
And these are
ribs.
Ribs.
Yeah.
See, now that's interesting because I've seen you both work but I just thought she just used your hands. I guess I never even thought of the fact.
I do love those hand motions that you just did.
I just tried to just whatever. This is right.
For everybody on the radio, he just went smush, smush, smush with his hands. But no, we use a lot. I mean, you know, the more you do pottery, like, you have very specialized tools. So, like, all of us will have, like, 2 to 3 tools that we, like, traditionally use. Mm-hmm. It's hilarious because you can, like, the pottery industry itself, there's this whole separate sector of tool people. And I'm a tool junkie. I will buy your tools. If you make tools, I will buy them. And then I just, like, put them over there and I look at them like, that's a lovely tool. And now I own this tool.
I know. I have some that I just love.
Yeah. I own, like, 4.
And there will be tools for sale at the Throwdown.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
We have Richmond Clay.
Yeah, Scott Campbell.
Scott Campbell, who is just a wonderful, wonderful guy. He supported all of us for many years with his business in Richmond. Mm-hmm. He will be there with a table selling tools and, you know, clay and our other supplies. So that's been a nice
addition. He's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, when we come back, we'll talk again what you'll see that day and what you'll get to do. And it is a great day. And I remember I figured I'd spend about a half hour there last year, and I was there for like an hour and a half, just walking around and looking at everything.
Love to hear it.
Bless you. It was like a million degrees last year.
It was very hot. It was very hot. But every year so far, so good.
That's right.
The weather has been terrific for the Sophia Street Pottery Throwdown. This is the third annual. It is June 8th this year, June the 8th, a Saturday. From 10 to 5. Trista Chapman, Dee Dee Lucky here. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA coming up. Town Talk financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:30.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
We are talking Sophia Street Pottery Throwdown this morning. Trista Chapman and Dee Dee Lucky in this morning. The Throwdown is on June the 8th, 10 to 5, at the 1100 block of Sophia Street. They block that block off over by the library, and it is a terrific day. Before we move on to a couple other things, somebody did text in a question about, I think it was something that you said, Trista, when you talked about glazing recipes. And they just said, What do you mean by recipes?
It's the actual recipe of how the glaze is made. Mm-hmm. There's ingredients, and some of them are much more complicated. You might have 10 ingredients in a glaze, or you could have 2 ingredients in a glaze. And that's just I have a loose leaf binder at home that's full of what they call glaze recipes, and they're just all different colors and types of glazes that you can make. And people have made them for hundreds and hundreds of years, and it's an actual thing that you follow with grams of colorants and tints or whatever. I don't know.
Add
to what I said.
What she said.
Yeah. Okay. It's a real recipe,
it's just a recipe.
Something you would cook.
It's
something that you have to follow to make a certain color come out a certain way for a certain temperature when you're firing.
And not to complicate it, but chemistry comes into it quite a bit, and sometimes the mines where they mine certain chemicals will change the chemical composition of a particular element, or something will change, and then you have to adjust your recipe. So that's really where the community kind of comes in sometimes. Like, there's a couple of Facebook pages and message boards that I belong to, so like when we have an issue with the glaze, suddenly something will change or our supplier will change. You go on there and you like type in the question, and somebody has already answered, like, oh yeah, the potassium level went down on that particular you know, chemical compound, and they've already figured out how to adjust. Is this really boring? This has been Dee Dee's chemistry talk.
No. It's so true.
For everybody listening, if you're taking AP chemistry or chemistry, you will use it if you become a potter. Like, you have to do molar balances and stuff. Like, there's a whole thing with it.
Well, it's a whole thing. The whole thing with a kiln, because I've told you, I would like to do a video or something with you sometime, Trista, about just the kiln, because there's a lot to that just as far as how long and the temperature, and I mean it's a complicated thing.
What you really would need to do is, because I fire with an electric kiln, which it is its own thing, but on a scale of complexity, as far as being a potter, it's pretty straightforward. It's more like, it's like an oven in your kitchen almost. I mean, you load it, and that's something you do have to learn, but The gas firing is a whole nother, well, there's many ways to fire, but I have a gas kiln also in my backyard that I rent to people. And that would be really kind of interesting for you to watch, too, because that's a little bit more involved than an electric fire.
I think we talked about this last time, the reduction, where you're, like, pulling oxygen out of the atmosphere.
Yes.
And it changes the way the chemicals react with each other in the clay surface, and the clay body. So, like, there's a lot of different things that go into pottery. And all of that comes from communal knowledge, right? So this is the whole tradition. Pottery used to be a professional and an apprentice sort of thing. That's how people learned. There weren't these great pottery schools. So like that tradition of teaching each other how to do these things, and you'll often see potters that will bring people on even now as assistants in order for them to learn how to fire in these specialty environments, like wood firing or gas firing, that kind of thing. So yeah.
The other thing I have learned from you two is just the going to shows. And I mean, besides the long hours it takes during the week when you're making these things, I know, Trista, you're always going to shows. You know, I see pictures. I see pictures of you loading them into your, you know, loading them into a van or something and going off and then bringing it all back. And it's a labor of love.
It really is. There's a lot to it. I always tell people making the actual pot is almost, in the end, can be the least part of all of it. You have to be able to market yourself. Yeah. You have to take really good pictures of what you make so that you can get in the shows that you want to get in.
Yep.
And, you know, there's a whole business around the business of being a potter. It's a full... I don't know what you'd say.
It's
you have to be good at many different.
You do. You have to wear a lot of different hats
to be your own business.
Yeah.
And be a potter. There's a lot involved. So it is. It's more than a full time job. I tell people that I work 10, 12 days, 12 hours a day, mostly every day, every week. That's just what it takes when you're your own business person and a potter.
Yep. Amen.
But you second that. You both love it.
We do.
We do.
It takes a special kind of person.
It does. Well, it takes not wanting to do retail in the mall anymore. That's what I was doing when I
or office stopped. Jobs.
Yeah. I'm very happy to be able to do what I love all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I think it takes a person that has like a creativity that's in your head all the time that needs to come out in order to make this happen. Because like, that creativity is constantly there. If I don't get to make for a little while, I'll start baking in my house or like redecorating or like, it's like, it's just there. It's innate. And so the pottery is like the chosen outlet for that creativity.
And if I don't have my hands in clay, I have it in the dirt outside.
There you go.
This time I love planting and plants and flowers and things like that. So I find that
I'm
not on the inside, I'm outside with my, I can't wait to get outside and get dirty, like in the yard, doing
it's
yard
so...
work, even weeding. Yeah. I like all of it.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
That it translates over.
And you know, so many people I know are the same way. Mm-hmm. People that love clay, seems like they love the outside, like the dirt and the
Why I started doing the kind of pottery that I do, because I always I'm very serious about gardening, and I have grow a ton of herbs and a ton of different things, and that's why I started pressing the leaves into my pots. It's like this way of transferring over and connecting those two things that I really love.
But I also love to cook and bake, and so do you. Yep. I find that it all seems to relate with a lot of people I know.
Explosive even creativity.
Neil cooks and bakes
absolutely.
Does things like that.
Neil makes really good scones. If you ever have Neil in here, request his scones.
I will. I have talked about wanting to do things, something with him. And
such good scones.
So. I'll remember that.
Yep, you request them.
Keep at it. Get them on here.
Well, you both have interesting stories about just how you got into pottery and how you started doing this.
I started when I was 8.
What?
I was just a little tiny tyke. And my dad started his own school. I think I told that story. And the woman, there was a mother of one of the kids that was in my dad's school that was a potter. And I just started following her around. I'm sure I annoyed her to no end, but she built a kick wheel, and I helped build this kick wheel when I was 8 years old, and I just fell in love with it, literally. And I made this little monkey that my dad still has on his dresser, and I just glazed the front of it. It's so funny when I look at it, there was no glaze anywhere but just on the front of this little monkey. And anyway, I would go and try to do other things. I was in the restaurant business for a while. I was in retail business, and I would always go back to clay. I just kept finding myself going back to clay. And I went to art school, and I went into fashion illustration and drawing, and then I went to clay. It was like I couldn't stay away, and it just ended up that that was what I was supposed to do. I got a job working for two potters as an apprentice, and then they kind of kicked me out in 1995 and said, "You're doing a show," because they knew I wouldn't have I just didn't feel
the confidence, maybe.
Confident. Yeah. I don't know. They just never saw me taking the ball and running with it, literally. So they made it so I had to. Huh. And I sold all my pieces at my first show. So I thought, well, maybe I can do this. And that was 1995, and I've never looked back.
And Dee Dee, you have an interesting story, too. I mean,
not that interesting. That's really cool. That's like an epic.
Because someday that's going to be a movie.
Yeah, that's like a book.
Yes.
All right, so I'm going to follow up with my boring story. When I was a senior in high school, I created my own independent study for pottery because I wanted to learn how to throw. Again, I've been staring at Dan Finnegan through his window like a little creeper.
We're trying to forget about that.
Can you just imagine?
Yeah,
like peeking over the window.
It's a terrible visual.
Yeah, I'm sure he was like. I started my own independent study, and I rented tapes from the library, and we got books. You know, this is back before the internet. Everybody,
yeah.
All you youngins out there, this is before the internet. You had to go to a place called a library, mm-hmm. and you would like rent like educational videos.
You would,
and that's how I learned with the bad track in the background of. Yeah, this is how you throw a pod. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
So that's how I learned and was terrible at it. But all like my very first pots have surface decoration on them.
Oh,
just
that's so cool.
Hysterical. I painted like blue crayons because my background was painting at that point. Like I'm, you know, mm-hmm. it's what was more accessible in high school. And then went to college and accidentally undeclared minor in art. Like I have enough credits. I never declared my minor, but I could have. But I always said, I'm going to be a lawyer. And graduated from. College and one thing led to another and didn't become a lawyer, became a property manager instead. But again, always was in art, had a little art corner in the corner of my house, always. And then picked up clay about 10 years ago again and decided I wanted to take some classes and found Liberty Town. Started taking some classes again, brushed up my skills, and then started really, really pushing to like get better because I fell back into it. I remember coming home the very first day after throwing and saying, like, to Ken, like, oh, my God, I'm home. Like, I found my home.
Yeah.
Like, I figured out this is what I want to do. And he was like, all right, let's figure out how to make this happen.
That's so great.
From that, yeah.
That's not a boring story.
No, that's why I think they both are really interesting story. You were kind of pushed, and you just kind of kept always coming back.
Drifted. Story of Dee Dee Lucky. She drifts.
I was drifting until I really got serious about clay.
It is a very
I never really found
thing.
Anything that hooked me in like that.
Yeah.
You know, I never, and that's why I kept getting back to it. Because that it did feel like home.
Yeah.
Always to me.
And it feels very lucky to have that. Because I hear it from so many people that don't have that anchoring passion in their life. And sometimes, you can sense it in them. Like, they're searching. Like, they're in search mode. And, like, when you find that, I know I've had people often say, like, well, you find your style very quickly in pottery. I'm like, yeah, I know you took me, like, 20 years, basically, from the time that I started throwing to now to kind of, like, develop that style. But it was always in the back of my head. Like, it's always been there in some capacity. And it just finally found its way out of my head.
And I feel that way about Fredericksburg, too. I feel like I'm home. Mm-hmm. The minute I came here, I felt like home.
That was me too. I came in.
I
just
so
thought this
lucky,
is a great
though.
Place.
So many
I grew
up here, guys.
Like always thinking I might move here, I might do there or whatever. And the minute I came here, I said to Phil, I could live here, and here I am.
That's awesome.
I know.
Well, and that's where as we talk about how you guys got involved. It's important, I think that, and that's what the Sophia Street Pottery Throwdown does. You have a chance to talk to all kinds of potters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And who knows?
Find
you know,
out those
you
stories.
May, you may. Yeah. You may. Mm-hmm. You may decide you want to do it, or who knows what it does for you if you bring, you know, young kids along.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it's never too early or too late to discover art for yourself. You know, at Liberty Town, we encountered so many people that come in and say, like, oh, well, I have no artistic ability. And my first question is, who told you that?
That would be me.
Yeah, but who told you that? Who told you you didn't have any artistic ability?
I think everybody does.
Yeah. Everybody
does.
You
just have to find it.
Yeah. And you always get told by some grouchy art teacher in elementary school or a parent or yourself even sometimes that you weren't coloring the lines properly, or your line wasn't straight enough. And that's shenanigans. It's total shenanigans. Like, everybody's got creativity in them. It's just finding that outlet for it that works for you.
And you can be a potter and not even throw, too. That's another whole thing. You know, I've known people on the show circuit that don't throw. As far as using a pottery wheel, is that what that is?
Yeah.
But, you can just make hand-built things and use slabs and...
press
and
molds
just,
and...
Yeah, sculpt or whatever. Mm-hmm. There's many ways to even be a potter or do pottery. So...
Yeah.
It's endless.
Endless.
So Five Street Pottery Throwdown is on June the 8th. It's from 10 to 5 at the 1100 block of Sophia Street. You will not want to miss it. You can walk along there, and we'll talk about what you'll see that day when we come back. Dee Dee Lucky is here. Trista Chapman is here this morning. Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. We will wrap this up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Opinions, we've all got them, and we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Trista Chapman is here this morning. Dee Dee Lucky is here this morning. We are talking about the Sophia Street Pottery Throwdown, June 8th, 10 to 5, the 1100 block of Sophia Street. So, Trista, know that we've talked about a lot of topics this morning. It has been a fun show. What got you to decide to do this? Was this just a sort of highlight pottery in Fredericksburg or in the region? Because not just Fredericksburg, you have potters come around from other areas too.
That's right. For years, I participated in a show where I used to work in Richmond. A friend of mine, Robin Cage, who was a potter that I worked with for years. Started a little show in her neighborhood, and it was all arts, not just pottery. But it's one of my favorite shows to do. It's in September, called the 43rd Street Festival. Give her a little shout out. Wonderful show, small. She keeps it pretty small. It has about 60 artists. But it was always in my mind to do something like that in Fredericksburg. I thought it was a perfect town that could support something like that. And I would talk to Dan Finnegan about that for years. And we would sort of throw different ideas around and think, it would be great. And just years I don't know how many years rolled by where we just kept talking about it. And finally, about 3.5 years ago in January, we were sitting there and Dan said, let's just do it. Come on, we're going to do it. And I thought he meant like a year from then we'd, get it going. He goes, no, we're going to do it in June. We'll do it. Let's just pick the weekend and let's just do pottery. So he was the one that sort of gave me that idea of streamlining it. And there's a show that he does, Pottery on the Hill in Washington, D.C., that's been really very successful, wonderful, small show. With really great talent. Anyway, it was also an idea of mine to try to get people to know where my studio is. It's always been sort of a problem for me. I've been there a long time, and people walk in the door of my shop and say, this is great. How long have you been? Is this new? And it's been there since 1982. So there's just it's hard for me to get people to come down around the corner. I'm downtown, but I'm around the corner from where everything's happening. And it's just been difficult for me. And the town, they haven't really figured out yet. And I'm hoping they will, maybe to make some kind of signage that really points off the main drag of Caroline and William to some of the businesses that are wonderful, that are like along the river, but they're in a kind of a corridor that doesn't get
it
the
is
traffic.
There's that kind of that corner.
Yeah. And so that really was part of it too, other than, wanting to do a show and having different art featured in our little town that people may not know about, and exposing people to art is to get people to know what's happening in my studio on Sophia Street.
Well, it's a chance for you just to kind of walk along and see different things, because everybody's little tent or however they have it set up. Everybody, you're all unique.
Yes, and we have demonstrations going on too. That's something else that we do. We have a few of the potters, at least three, each year so far, have demonstrated for about 45 minutes, so you can watch somebody that's a professional, actually practicing their their art right in front of you.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Oh, it is. Yeah. It is. And just the fact that you can, if you want to practice throwing pottery, you can.
Yep. Yeah, we have the whole station set up so people can come and try and get their hands a little muddy. And then, you know, it's really low pressure. It's completely free to show up to any of these things. Like, you can watch the demonstrations free. You can come and try your hand at the wheel for free. You can just cruise through the booth. That's totally free. We're not going to charge it into our booths.
And we also have music. Yep. We haven't mentioned that yet. We have live music happening, too. Yep. Larry Hinkle and friends. So that's something else to enjoy while you're strolling through.
Mm-hmm. And like you mentioned, Trista, I mean, you go into your shop and you've got potters working there, but you can also see out front, you can buy some things.
I've got a little shop in the front of my studio that I carry many different kinds of pottery, mine as well as some others, but also jewelry and other crafts. I travel and do craft shows, and I bring some of that back with me. So I have a variety of things for people to see.
And Dee Dee, to go into Liberty Town, it's like a crafts mall there.
It's a crafts. I like that. I like that a lot. It's
an art emporium.
It is an art emporium. It's about 13,000 square feet. Yeah. So it's pretty big. About 60 artists total represented at this point.
I mean, there's pottery. There's art. Yeah.
We got pottery. We got art. We've got glass. We've got jewelry. We've got fiber. We've got everything. Pretty much everything. Multimedia photography. We've got it all.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got a little bit of everything.
Yeah. So anyway, check.
Pretty much everything's for sale. If it's not nailed down, just ask me and I'll probably give you a price on it.
Well, this has been a fabulous show. Thank you both for coming in. I need to get the two of you together more often like this and just talk about art in the community, because there really are exciting things happening around here.
It's an amazing art community. It's an amazing community in general, but the art community especially is really, like, it's a pretty welcoming, lovely space to be in.
It is. Thank you so much for supporting us.
Yep. Oh, I'm telling you, if June 8th is open for you, you want to go to the 1100 block of Sophia Street, 10 to 5, the Sophia Street Pottery Throwdown. Thank you, Trista, for doing this, because it really has become part of Fredericksburg.
Well, thank you, Trista. Thank you all. Thanks, everybody.
Trista Chapman, Dee Dee Lucky, thank you. And I got to get you two together again. This has been a very fun show. The Sophia Street Pottery Throwdown, June 8th, 10 to 5. Don't miss it. That's it for Town Talk. Thank you for listening. We'll see you tomorrow on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own, and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.